we'll have a closing song to end the service. Brother Mike.
Kendall. You guys know I use my Kindle for my Bible. I got here this morning and I was listening to the pastor teach in Sunday school and all of a sudden, hey, thanks, Sam. I don't want to drink after a meal anyways. He's got something. Anyways, my Bible has to be charged. About halfway through, it goes beep, and I look down and I'm like, oh no. The good thing the Asquith boys, right across the road, Sam ran across and saved me before. He got me a charger, and now my Bible's charged back up. Is yours charged up?
Yes, sir.
All right. Pastor Hain asked the four of us, Dale, me, Neil, and Ed, back in the back in Melinda's Sunday school room. I had to ask where that was because I wasn't sure. I didn't know exactly where we were going, but. Anyways, he gets us back there, and he's like, well, the pastor's away. I'm going to have the four of you preach, and I'm going to have you spend 15 minutes each preaching. And I'm thinking, yeah, great, that's wonderful. I don't think we can do it, but maybe we can. But then I thought, well, you know what? I listened to these sermon jams online, and they're pretty short. So I thought, well, I got 15 minutes, so maybe I can get three sermons in. So I'm going to give you the first one that I learned yesterday. I went to Red Lobster with my wife and my grandson to have endless shrimp. I did that because last week Neil Ford did the same thing without me. So I went without him. About 2 years ago, my grandson's, maybe it was about a year and a half ago. My grandson's 3 and a half. And we got there, and there's a wait, because people want to eat as many shrimp as they can, and they don't want to leave the table. So that means that you got to sit and wait for somebody to finish, being a glutton. And I went there, and I was a glutton. Anyways, my grandson, I said to my grandson, I go, Kevin, do you remember... last time we were here, the lady let you touch the lobsters. He's like, oh, yeah. He's all excited about that. So she calls our name because we'd already went up there and talked to her about who we were and why we were there. And we told her we wanted to eat as many shrimp as we could. And she said, you're going to have to wait 15 or 20 minutes. And that 15 or 20 minutes got up. And in the process, my wife decided she's going to go out to the car and get a brush because my grandson had bedhead. You ever seen bedhead before? I'm turning around, Pastor. I know you told us not to. I got a bike on, so I can turn around. So she goes out to the car, and she calls. The lady calls my name, and so I come up, and I stand there, and I'm like, well, my wife's out to the car. Can we just wait a second? And while we're standing there, she's standing at the podium. I'm standing, this close to it, talking to her. My grandson, without even hesitating at all, I'm thinking, don't ask if you can do it or not, but he goes, hey, will you pick the lobster up so I can touch him again? So the lady's like, oh, you want to touch the lobster? She goes over there and pulls it out for him and holds it, and he gets up and he touches the claws and holds on to the antennas and everything, and I was thinking, you know what? I need to have that kind of faith with God, because he tells me to ask. There's a lot of times that I don't ask. It says in James chapter 4, verse number 3, that you have not because you ask not. And you ask amiss, to consume it upon your own lust. He didn't want to consume that lobster. He just wanted to touch the lobster. He was curious. And he had the faith to just ask. Why don't we do that with our Heavenly Father? Why don't we just ask Him? Now, there is a precursor in there. You have to remember this. If you're going to ask something of God, it has to be in His name. So it has to be something that if you're going to ask it, it has to be something that God's going to want. That's sermon number one. How am I doing on time? Oh, pretty good. Now you're wondering why am I opening my... This isn't even, this is a freebie. This is 2 minutes of my time that I'm going to give to somebody else. And hopefully it works. So, without further ado, Pastor Clarence Sexton, this is a sermon that I've listened to before. I sent it to Dale Morey. I sent it to Neil. And hopefully my phone works. All right, it's loading. I know you can't see that, but it's loading. Maybe we have signal here.
Verse 32, the Bible says, he that spared not his own son.
Can you hear that?
But deliver him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Would you look down here? Let's imagine you came to my house. You came to my house, and for some strange reason this happened. I couldn't explain why. But you said, I've been in need, feeble, helpless, and needy. And I said, well, what do you need? He said, well, I need more money out of that money. I need more furniture. It ran out. I need more food. It ran out. I tell you what, you got two sons, don't you, Brother Sexton? I said, yes. This man, he said to me, if you just give me one of your sons, just give it to me. Let me have somebody to work, earn a living, provide our food, our livelihood, strong people on it. Let's imagine I walked over to my two boys and said, here, you can have it. Do you think if I gave you my son, I would be willing to give you a tenant's maintenance or a month's rent or a car payment?
Minutes, 34 seconds. How many of you ever sat in a church service for 50 minutes or longer listening to somebody not giving a more powerful message than that right there? I mean, if we can't get across in 15 minutes, and that's the thing that I was struggling with in my head was, if we can't get across something that powerful that Pastor Sexton, Temple Baptist, got across in 2 minutes and 34 seconds, we're not serving the same God as he is, unfortunately. How many of you remember my shed? I hate to keep bringing it up, but it's a point that God has used in my life to get me to where I'm at right now. Okay? You all know that my shed's straightened up now, right? You all know that it's still that way? No, because I haven't been there. But I'm going to tell you, not only is my shed straightened up, now when my daughter takes something back, that I don't even have to tell her where it goes. We were doing a roof and we had some extra step flashing. I don't know if you know what that is. It's when you do a roof and you come to the house and there's another roof that comes alongside the house. Each shingle that you put down, you put a piece of metal that's bent in an L shape, and you put it up, and it's called step flashing. And you step along the side of that house, so when water comes to against that house, it hits the flashing and rolls itself down to the next shingle, which goes on to the next piece of metal, down to the next piece of metal until it's off the roof. So you're basically creating a waterproof situation there. My daughter took that without me instructing her, and put it in my shed. And I was actually able to go in there and she actually put it with all the other metal stuff that we have in the shed, because it's all in one area.
So, I'm not quite as organized as Pastor, because Pastor has everything all traced out. I don't know if you've ever been in his garage before, but if he's got a hammer and it's supposed to be on a pegboard and it's not there, you can see where it used to be. my shed also has electric in it now, and it has a light in it. So that started me on stewardship, and I preached in my last message here was about stewardship. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. Excuse me for a second. Ephesians chapter 5. Okay, Ephesians 5, verse number 15. Ephesians 5, 15. And I'm really going to emphasize verse number 16 because that's where God has been challenging me about a lot of things in my life in this particular verse. But we're going to start in verse number 15 of Ephesians 5. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore you be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That verse says, in verse number 16, it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. My shed started me on what I would say is an improvement in my own life. And God challenges us to redeem the time. One of the things that we would call that nowadays in modern day is time management. There's one thing that we can't get back, folks. We can make more money. We can do all kinds of other things, but we can't get back time. Once it's spent, once it's done, it's gone. It really is gone. And some of you people are better at it than I am. Some people are just naturally good at it. I'm not. My Uncle Chaz is his brother. He's younger than him, and probably better looking too. At least he would say he was. Uncle Chaz said that he has a job. He's 70 years old, 71 years old. He has a job because he says, if I didn't, I'm lazy. And I'd sit around and do nothing. And I think that I have that same gene. That if I didn't have a job, that I'd sit around and do nothing. And I'd be content doing that. But God says for me to redeem the time. Because the days are evil. If you don't think that days are evil, just turn on the television, listen to the news for a day. Anytime that you turn the TV on, you'll see that this world isn't a special place anymore. It's an amazing thing, though, for me. When I started doing time management, started scheduling my day, I started thinking about, you know what? I heard a lot of pastors say God's not bound by time, and in theory, God's not bound by time because he's eternal. But God bound himself by time by making time. He bound himself by time by making man and putting man in time. So therefore, God is consistently bound by time. Tomorrow morning, the sun's going to come up, and it's going to come up at a particular time. You want to know the reason why? Because God redeems the time. He doesn't say that, well, maybe tomorrow I'll decide to get up and the sun will get up at 10 o'clock. And then the next day it will get up at 7 o'clock. That isn't what God does. It's consistent. Not just the sun, but the moon phases. Everything about what God does in the time that God created is consistent. You can go out hundreds of years in God's schedule and know what moon phase it's going to be. You can also go out hundreds of years and know what time the sun's going to come up. 100 years from this day, you can know that. Because God has a schedule and he sticks to it. How many of you know how many seconds we've wasted this year alone? You have a rough guess? How many? How many of you think has passed since January 1st of this year? A lot? How about 26 million? Just over 26 million. Yesterday it was 25,991,608 when I first opened this app up. 300 days have gone by this year. Can I ask you a question? Are you redeeming your time with God? Are you any closer to God than you were on January 1st of this year, 301 days ago? Have you improved anywhere in your life? How many people have you witnessed to this year? You know, there's a lot of us, and I'm going to say myself mostly, there are a lot of times that I waste a lot of time not being focused on what God wants for my life. That's what the next verse says. It talks about us knowing the will of God. And by not managing my time well, by not making the best use of the time that God gives me, there's days that I don't read his word. I don't meditate on his word. I'm not going to say that this is what most of you should do, but there are a lot of times that I'll just take a verse and I'll keep working that verse over and over and over and over again until I've beat it into my head. God's beat it into my head. And the Bible says about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance. That's one of the verses that I've been working on in my life lately, is the temperance part of that and understanding what that means. Because I've found oftentimes that I'll get into difficult situations in my own mind that they're difficult. And instead of letting the Holy Spirit control me, I let Mike Falk control me. And it's not a good thing when Mike Falk controls me. My flesh wants to do things, wants to say things, wants to get mad. My flesh doesn't want to redeem the time. My flesh would be happy to just sit and listen to sermon jams on YouTube for 3 or 4 hours at night. And sadly get up and mindlessly not remember anything that was preached to me. Mike Falk will come and sit in a service like this and listen to Neil Ford talk about something that touched his heart. And walk away and an hour later hardly even remember what Neil Ford had to say and how important it was to Neil Ford. How important it should be to me. Some of you will get up right now in less than 5 minutes and you'll walk out of here and you'll care less that Mike Falk just stood up here and said that the Word of God says that we need to redeem our time. And you'll waste God's time and your time this week. You won't make a difference. It'll just be another day that you survived. And if that's the only thing that you get from what I'm saying right now, is stop it. It doesn't matter if you make a half a percentage of an improvement this week. Make an improvement in your life. Stop wasting God's time. Because there's going to be a day that he's going to say, okay, I've had enough of you wasting my time. You're coming back here with me. Thanks, Pastor.